Thank you, Paul. Hello to everyone. This is a follow-up report to one that I made to the council in June. Just a brief bit of background. The trustees of the foundation completed a strategy review report last year, and this focused on the direction the organization should be heading for the next 5 years. And one of the key recommendations in that report was we should push for adoption of IFRS without modification, no adaptation, and not convergence. The trustees said convergence may be a temporary step on the way to adoption, but that's not, that's not our goal. And that was kind of a courageous statement, because as you know, many countries are in various stages of convergence. And the trustees asked the logical follow-on question to that. They asked the staff, do we know who has adopted IFRS and how? I mean, after all, we're producing a product, and do we know who's buying and how they're using our product? And we had sort of an embarrassing answer to say, no, we really don't know in great detail. And the trustee said, we ought to find out. It's time that we know exactly how different jurisdictions around the world are using our standards. So we began a project with three objectives. The first, to gather the central source of information about how IFRS are being used. Secondly, to respond to what I would say is misinformation floating around about the extent of modifications to IFRS, local flavors, and thirdly, to identify where, for some countries, we can be of help and to move them along the path toward adoption. The project started actually last autumn of 2012, when we did an online survey, and many jurisdictions responded. And when I finished my term on the board last December 31st, I took over the project on a part-time basis. So here we are now, 9 months later, and we have finished 81 jurisdiction profiles. They're posted on our website. It includes all of the G20 and 61 more. The starting point was that survey that I mentioned. We quickly realized that we had to prepare the profiles. The jurisdictions can help. They can review. We want them to sign off, but it's our product. And jurisdictions don't have free rein in saying whatever they want. We want it to be as accurate and as representationally faithful, to use an ugly term from our new conceptual framework, as possible. And by that I mean the profiles do not have hopes and intentions, but rather facts as much as we can gather. This slide lists the 66 profiles that we posted in June and 15 more that we posted a few weeks ago. Each profile has the contact details for whoever participated in the survey. We wanted it to be the national standard setter. In some cases, that's the profession. Some cases, an independent standard setter. Many cases, a government agency, Ministry of Finance, or securities regulator. We asked about their commitment to global accounting standards. We asked about the extent of the use of IFRS in the jurisdiction. Which companies? Is it required or permitted? Consolidated only? Unlisted also? We asked about the process for endorsement. Are IFRS somehow written into law, and as it is done in many countries, or into regulation, or otherwise, how do you go about endorsing, if at all? Did you make any modifications, eliminate options? What is the process for translation? We have, of course, at the IFRS Foundation, a translation group, and they've got rigorous standards for translations. Once in a while, renegade translations pop up, some of which we're not even aware of, and because those might not have the rigorous quality control that we impose, there may be modifications that are inadvertent, not to mention the fact that they're using our copyrighted text in doing these. So what is your translation process? And we asked some questions about the IFRS for SMEs. I should have mentioned a moment ago that in addition to our internal review of what is in each profile and the review by the survey respondent, we asked all of the international audit firms if they would review our profiles, and we asked a number of regulators if they would do so as well. And we've had wonderful response from both of those groups, and that because, of course, all of the big accounting firms have practices in many countries, and so they know what's going on quite well, and the regulators have a good idea additionally. So these are important audits of our work. Let me overview what we found for the first 81 countries. 78 of them have actually made somewhere a public statement of a commitment to global, a single set of global accounting standards. That could be done in many different ways, including simply something in a preamble to the law where they adopted IFRS, the whereas it's important to have consistent standards around the world, etc. Well, that's a commitment. That's to a single set of standards. 78 of the 81 countries made such a commitment. 80 specifically said IFRS should be the goal for a global accounting standard if you're going to have one. Now, everybody then asks, well, who is the one? And it is Switzerland, but they are a no to that question only because they never actually made a public statement saying IFRS should be the global standard. But in fact, last December, the Swiss Parliament passed a law that said all Swiss companies may choose between full IFRS, IFRS for SMEs, U.S. GAAP, or Swiss GAAP. Now, the stock exchange restricts that a little bit, but IFRS is in the law, and we actually did a staff analysis of every listed company on the Swiss Stock Exchange. We looked at their audit reports and financial statements. 85% of the main board use IFRS. So whether or not they've made a public statement, the fact is they use IFRS. Here's the big question, is IFRS required for listed companies? And 70 of the 81 who respond, who profiles we've posted require IFRS for all or most listed companies. Why do I say most? Because in some jurisdictions, the bank regulator, rather than the securities regulator, tells the banks what GAAP they use even for the public sale of securities. So there are a few jurisdictions, not too many, that require IFRS for all listed companies except banks. And there's actually one or two that require IFRS only for listed banks and not for the other listed companies. So 70 out of 81. 60% of those 70 go beyond just the listed companies. Maybe they require IFRS for unlisted banks, unlisted insurance, and large unlisted companies. 90% of the 70 go beyond to say IFRS are either required or, more likely, permitted for unlisted. Now, who are these 11 of our 81 who are not yet using IFRS? Well, one is Japan. But it's not quite black, it's not black and white, because there are, Japan permits domestic companies to use IFRS if they meet certain criteria. This year's annual reports, 22 very large Japanese companies use IFRS. The forecast is that for next year, they all report in March of each year. The forecast is for next year, 20% of the market cap in Japan will be IFRS, and for 2015, 40%. And they're probably going to expand the criteria for which companies are permitted to use IFRS. So even if they don't adopt, by expanding those criteria, we will get a much larger share of the Japanese accounting market. In the U.S., we know this, the situation, and yes, they have not adopted IFRS for domestic companies. It's permitted for foreign registrants, and 450 foreign registrants in the U.S. use IFRS as issued by the IASB. That's an awful lot of companies, and more than are listed on most stock exchanges in any country around the world. So the glass is not totally empty in the U.S. by a long shot. China has not adopted, but their standards are substantially converged with ours. And in fact, they are in the middle of a project right now to deal with our recent standards, IFRS is 10, 11, 12, 13, 27, 28, etc., to further converge their national standards with IFRS. India does permit IFRS. It's on a very limited basis. It's permitted, but it's used on a very limited basis. There are actually 11 Indian companies today that use IFRS. Most of those issue ADRs in the United States, and so it's easier for them to just use IFRS, but they use it domestically too. But there's one that actually is not listed in the U.S. and uses IFRS purely domestically. Pakistan and Singapore have adopted most, but not all IFRSs. Saudi Arabia, they already require IFRS for all banks and insurance, listed or unlisted, and they're in the middle of a project to adopt for all listed. Bhutan, a small country, but they've now adopted effective 2021, and they're phasing that in. Bolivia has not adopted, but on the other hand, their laws don't really require, they just say prepare GAAP financial statements for a listed company, and IFRS is an accepted GAAP. So IFRS are used. Indonesia and Macau, actually the slide is slightly out of date. It says adopted some individual IFRS, but no plan for full adoption. Actually, Indonesia has begun working on a plan. So that's a very big economy. I guess the G20 economy, and it looks positive for Indonesia going forward. Now, what about the modifications? Modifications are rare. The IAS 39 carve-out in the EU got a lot of press, but actually, there's only about 20 companies out of the 8,000 listed in Europe that take advantage of that carve-out. So 7,980 companies listed in the EU are using IFRS as issued by the IASB. A few jurisdictions deferred the effective dates of IFRS 10, 11, 12. Again, Europe got some notoriety on this, but they deferred it for 1 year. In 2014, they will adopt. There are several other countries that have delayed those same standards for more than 1 year, but they eventually, like Europe, they will adopt. It's just a matter of time. A few countries have deferred some standards pending completion of projects we are working on at the moment. One or two countries have actually deferred adoption for some companies for that reason. These include the use of the equity method in separate financial statements. IFRS does not permit equity method for the for the subsidiaries that are consolidated in the consolidated statements. In separate, you must either use fair value or cost method. U.S. requires the equity method. So we have a project right now to look at whether we should make an amendment in the separate statements. Agriculture, we have an exposure draft out on bearer plants to treat orchards and rubber plantations as fixed assets, depreciable fixed assets, rather than as agricultural assets to be marked to market through P&L. Loan loss provisions, a few countries have used prudential measurements of loan loss provisions in lieu of the one that IAS 39 requires. And hedge accounting, we're working on that. Rate regulation, we're working, as you know, on that as well. What does the auditor's report say? In the 70 countries that have adopted IFRS, it refers to IFRS as issued by the IASB in 32 countries, IFRS as issued by the EU in 32 countries. But many of those also assert compliance with IFRS as issued by the IASB. We have begun a study in Europe, and maybe we will expand it to other countries. Which countries is dual reporting common? We know in Germany there's quite a few that report in conformity with IFRS as issued by the EU, as adopted by the EU, and IFRS is issued by the IASB. We want to find out in the rest of Europe, is that the case? And it would be interesting in other countries as well. In the 81 jurisdictions, actually there's 23 that have no endorsement process at all. And then we're all pretty familiar with the EU process. You can see for everybody else, in some countries, there's a government agency has to do the endorsement. In some, it's the professional body. Some, it's a two-step process. And a few countries don't allow IFRS at all, so there's no endorsement issue for them. 30 of our 81 countries have adopted the IFRS for SMEs, and 11 more are actively considering. So let me turn now to where we are going forward. Now, you're getting the absolute latest information because literally at lunchtime today, just before I came over here, I mailed off 34 more profiles to the big accounting firms and to the regulators for their review. These are done. We got responses from those 34 countries. We've written the profile. I haven't yet sent it back to the country. I'm going to do that tomorrow because I've got to write individual letters. There's individual issues in each one. But for the regulators and the big accounting firms, I've already sent these out. Comment deadline, November 15. So we'll have those posted certainly by the end of November. So if you take – I did the math here because I'm not too good at this. What did I do with this? Oh, yes. So we've got 81 done. 34 more, that's 115 countries. Jan Engstrom, I saw Jan here a little while ago. I don't know if he's still in the room. But I bumped into him the other day, and he asked a very simple question. What's your scope? Who are eventually all the countries you're trying to get profiles for? And I said to Jan, believe it or not, I've never really thought about that. If I thought of a country, we've written to them. But the project started before me, and they wrote to whoever they did, and that was it. But then I began to think about it, and I said, well, we certainly should aim for all the UN member countries. That's 193. Then I realized that there are a good number of countries in the Caribbean that for whatever reason have not joined the EU, the UN, Bermuda, Cayman Islands. There's eight countries have what, one stock exchange, one central bank, one monetary unit, one regulator, and they've adopted IFRS, so we certainly would like to count them. But we never surveyed them because they're not in the United Nations. So bottom line is, on top of the 81 we've posted, I have 119 more potential countries, 34 done, so that leaves 85 more that I need information for. But we're starting to get to small countries that I had to go to Wikipedia to find out who and what they were. But anyway, we're doing that. So in these notes here, this next page, I prepared a list of the countries we need some help on. This list is bigger now as a result of Jan Engstrom's question, but the good news is I marked on my notes sitting here eight more of this list. We already have got responses. But anyway, if you know the information or a contact person in any of these, just send me an email, please. We are going to do a follow-up survey late end of this year or early next year. That follow-up survey has three objectives. One is to reaffirm the data we've already posted or learn that things have changed. I mean, I would say certainly twice a week I get an email from a country where we've posted saying the following has happened in our country, update our profile. So I do that. We want to find that out more comprehensively. So that's one objective of our survey. Secondly, the original survey had some questions that in retrospect were not clear. For a simple example, we asked in Europe, we asked everybody, does your jurisdiction allow dual reporting, IFRS and your local GAAP? But the Europeans looked at that and they weren't sure what local GAAP was. Did it mean IFRS as adopted by the EU, or does it mean IFRS as adopted? Does it mean French GAAP? So a French respondent who looked at the question and said we must have meant French GAAP would answer it one way, but if they thought it meant IFRS as adopted by the EU as compared to IFRS, they answered it a different way. And we had three or four other questions that in hindsight we should have worded better. So we'll fix those. And thirdly, we want to get some additional information about adopting countries. The last slides in this presentation identify seven questions that we are thinking of asking. We want to learn more about dual reporting because we think realistically there are some countries for legal, for statutory reasons or other reasons that will not be able to simply adopt IFRS and the audit report says in conformity with IFRS. So for those, we would like to encourage dual reporting in conformity with X country national accounting standards and also in conformity with IFRS. Does the jurisdiction prohibit early adoption? That's an issue. There is a school of thought that says early adoption does not serve the interests of investors because some companies start using IFRS X in 2012, others start in 2013, and still others start in the year of the effective date, 2014. So you have years of non-comparability on one standard, and if you have several standards going into effect at different times, the permutations of lack of comparability are significant. And so some jurisdictions have said no early adoption permitted. Others do. So we'd like to know what countries have done. Did you amend the effective dates of the standard in some way? If the use of IFRS for SMEs is optional, what else are companies doing, and is the IFRS for SMEs being used quite a bit or only a little bit? I mean, we were very happy that Argentina adopted the IFRS for SMEs, but I've recently learned that there are not very many companies using it because the national gap is very simple cash, almost cash basis kind of accounting, and the little companies are happy with it. On the other hand, some countries have adopted it where it's optional and nearly everybody is using it. So we'd like to know that. Did you add any mandatory requirements to IFRS? Are these disclosures, or did you add mandatory recognition and measurement accounting principles? And what is it? Do you require IFRS financial statements to be filed in XBRL in some way? You could do a complete survey just on the details of XBRL, but at least we will get a big picture of whether it's required or permitted, etc. This last one came up at the council meeting in June. Is the audit body in your country a member of IFIAR? Because that adds credibility to the financial statements and to an assertion that these financial statements comply with IFRS. Now, I did a similar presentation like this to our staff a couple of days ago, and we got two more questions out of this. So let me tell you what those are. What are the unregulated markets in each EU country? If you look at any of the EU profiles, you will see I've listed in each of those 31 or whatever it is, the stock exchanges for which IFRS are required. Why did I do that? Because the EU law doesn't say IFRS as adopted by the EU is required for all companies that trade in a public securities market. It says IFRS as adopted by the EU is required for all companies that trade in a regulated market. So there are regulated markets and unregulated markets. And, for example, in this country, the AIM, which has several thousand listed companies, is not a regulated market. Now, they have a few years ago, switched from UK GAAP to IFRS. But most countries in Europe have one or more unregulated markets. So we'd like to know what are they and what GAAP are they using. Because, remember, from an IFRS perspective, we say full IFRS should be used by any company with public accountability, and you have public accountability if your securities trade in a public market. We don't address the notion of regulated market. And the second question, the staff said we'd like to know, what's the length of your endorsement process, and is it normally or always completed before the effective date? So with that, we've still got 10 minutes. I've got two questions. Number one, do the survey findings suggest any short-term or longer-term action that either our board or the foundation should take? And secondly, what do you think of the nine questions, are there others we should ask? So I'll turn it back to Paul for the Q&A.
Thanks, Paul. Any questions or comments? Jim?
Paul, as always, very helpful, very informative. I have an observation both to you and more generally to the council.
Your question
number seven. There are 46 audit oversight bodies. I really don't think you need to include it in the survey. There's a list on the IFIAR website of the 46 members that they have. Cut it out and just go straight to the IFIAR website. But more generally to the council, when we were debating earlier in this meeting about whether we have a role in communication, I mean, I think, generally speaking, the type of communication that Paul has just given us is priceless in trying to speak up to the breadth and quality of the adoption of IFRS around the world. And this is really the sort of stuff we can easily speak about, and these slides are perfect to do that.
Francois.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you again to Paul.
Could you speak into the microphone, please?
Yes, certainly. In fact, the comment is maybe questions or suggestions for supplementary questions in your follow-up survey. When you reflect the modifications that are rare, I don't see any mention of simplified disclosures for statutory accounts, and we know that this has been flourishing in some jurisdictions. And the other point that I don't see, maybe it's been included, it's that you have jurisdictions that do not intend to move out of national GAAP. For example, I mean, many in the European Union, when they have national GAAP, retain them. However, they have some form of convergence program. So they replicate IFRS. Unless they see a good reason not to do so.
Could I comment on both of those? The first one, let me just make a note. On the first question, the simplified disclosures, you said in separate financial statements. Okay. We could ask that question. I mean, that's what you're suggesting. Has your jurisdiction done what Australia and one or two others have done, require the same recognition and measurement principles, but with reduced disclosures? Australia's case is just separate financial statements. I think it's for companies that are they're smaller unlisted companies. So maybe we need to ask that question in a different way, not just separate financial statements, but also for unlisted companies. And I will just point out that we, in the basis for conclusions for the IFRS for SMEs, we discussed that very issue and explained the board's reason for not doing that. But I think it's a good question. We should ask. Now, on the second one, do you have a convergence program with IFRS? We can ask that question. The problem is every jurisdiction in the world that has not adopted IFRS will tell you we base our standards on IFRS. So then let's say we get back the responses to that question, oh, yes, we are converging. Unless somebody literally reads the national standard, which may not be in English or a language we have knowledge of, I don't, other than accepting on blind faith the statement that a country is basing their national standards on IFRS, I'm not sure, I'm nervous about putting just a simple yes or no response on our website. But let me think about how we can get some rigor into that kind of question while getting at what you want to get. But I know that there's no country in the world will say, oh, no, we're going it alone. We pay no attention to what comes out of 30 Cannon Street.
I see several more cards up. I'm going to suggest we hear the questions, and Paul, you can react to them collectively rather than individually. I think it might be a little more efficient. Jeff.
Thank you. Great presentation, Paul, and excellent work on this project that I think is very important to investors and others. I particularly like your questions 7 and 8, because I agree with you. They both touch on the financial reporting environment in the jurisdiction, which I think is very important in evaluating the other information you've collected. I wrote a question, and maybe it's duplicative of 8, but something along the lines, does the jurisdiction have a regulator who is responsible for ensuring that listed companies within the jurisdiction comply with IFRS standards? I think something along those lines. Again, maybe 7 and 8 take care of that, but something along those lines I think would be helpful. Thank you.
I've got it, Jeff. Thank you.
Christophe, I think you had your...
Paul, two quick questions. One is, you explained that people tend to sometimes not understand the questions in the same manner. What testing do you do on the questions to see whether they can be understood in different ways or not? For instance, if I look at your question 5, I can think of 2 or 3 disclosures that we have to do in Germany, or which I wouldn't know whether I have to list them here or not, like audit fee disclosures that we have to do in the financial statement, which I wouldn't know whether they fall under 5 or not. So that will be interesting to understand what testing you do to see whether the questions are clear. The other one is one of out of curiosity. On the slide with the auditor's report, you state that 32 jurisdictions have auditor's report referring to IFRS as adopted by the EU. By the next page with the endorsement process, only lists 31.
I knew somebody would ask that. It's because of a potential accession country has said, have already adopted IFRS as adopted by the EU, even though they're not in the EU. Turkey. Oh, I think it's Turkey. I forget which one it is.
Camille.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. In Japan, just 80% of the total cap, market cap, using the Japan GAAP, and 15% is US GAAP. Only 5% is IFRS. So the key is how to increase this percentage, 5% to 20% or more. That is already explained yesterday by Mariko, that about 60 companies are planning or announced the intention or to shift to IFRS from other standards. But this percentage is still not high, not extent. Our target is to increase this percentage, ideally majority, 50% or more. So, but how to increase this percentage? So we have the consider that the long term and the short term. On the short term basis, that's the important key is just as Mariko already explained yesterday, but the limited modification is, I think, a good motivation to change this standard from the Japan GAAP to IFRS. Of course, long term, that is ideally that the pure IFRS is the desirable, but in the short term, that's why we are considering the limited modification. For example, in Japan, that is goodwill or R&D or OCI, there are several issues to consider. But because of these issues, Japan's companies hesitate to change the Japan's accounting standard or US GAAP to IFRS. So instead of the adherence of the IFRS issued by ISD, in the short-term range, we should also consider these limited modifications so that we can hope increasing this number of companies. Thank you.
Begonia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, first of all, I think this is a very useful analysis about what's happening in the world about the use of IFRS. So congratulations for providing us with this a lot, with this information. And as, talking about the questions you made at the end, the two questions about if we agree with the new potential questions, I think that at least two of them are particularly relevant in my view. The first one and the fifth one. The first one is about the dual reporting. Can you? Because I don't know if people have understood properly when you make the question about the dual reporting. I've been looking at the Spanish with the Spanish auditing report just to check if this is what appears in the Spanish profile. And Spanish companies since 2010 they refer to the IFRS is adopted by the European Union, but also it adds an additional note about in some other requirements established in Spain. So it's not only that sentence. It's that plus the Spanish gap. But this is since 2010. I don't know why. And And perhaps it is also important, it's related with question number five. At what extent there are some additional changes or modifications that affect the account? And going back again to the Spanish case, well, I'm aware about changes that the Bank of Spain is doing that affect the bank's accounting, bank's information. So I guess this should be some, this should be informed that there are some changes included in the accounting of banks in financial institutions because the Spanish requirements, the Spanish authorities impose some requirements to Spanish institutions. So that's important to know.
Well, Paul, you've heard a number of suggestions. I don't think it's reasonable. We weren't expecting you to process and respond to them, nor do I think the council should get involved in approving the individual questions. We've been keen from the outset. My observation is I think we are about to experience what just about every project experienced, which is scope creep. And so I would come back almost to follow on from Jan's concern, because I understand it was, who are you targeting here? And I guess I would ask, why, you know, what are we going to do with this information? There are lots of neat questions which would be helpful, but I do think I'm sure you are doing that to say, all right, if we succeed in capturing this information, so what? Where does it take us or not? And I must say some of the suggestions leave me puzzled as to exactly what use might be made of the information.
You're talking about some of the additional questions?
Yeah.
Or some of the additional countries?
A bit of both, to be honest, but more the questions.
Which ones?
Several of them that I think it's interesting to know what's happening on the auditing side, but I'm not sure that's the board's responsibility. I'd certainly like to know what the basis of reporting is, but it's not something I would personally expect the ISB to be promoting. I take Fumio's point that, you know, countries are in different paths. The stats aren't going to look great for Japan now, but I would worry if we tried to build that into it and to try and measure degrees of convergence, because I think you're either fully adopted or you're not. And in between, personally, I think you spend as much time figuring out the differences, whether they're 2 or 20.
So you delete the IFIAR question.
I'd rather not focus on individual ones rather than to say I think there should be a check back to say, all right, good question.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with the information? If not us, who? And if not us, why would we be the mechanism for gathering it? Sort of the mindset I would apply.
Okay.
So just any other? But huge enthusiasm. Andrew.
Thanks, Paul. Just one very quick point. Just picking up on the discussion that... microphone. Just picking up on the discussion you just had with Paul, I would just observe that what we are seeing, certainly in recent months, are some questions that are being raised in some jurisdictions about the extent to which IFRS has in fact been adopted in certain countries. And if it has been adopted, is it IFRS as issued by the ISB, or is it something else? There are associated questions that go into what extent is this subject to regulatory supervision. That's perhaps going a bit far. But I can see that sort of the information about the extent of adoption might be useful to the ISB in terms of potentially needing to rebut assertions that are made that not as many countries as you might think have adopted. Thank you.
I agree. I thought that was the primary objective that we had urged, was to get clarity around what you meant if you claimed IFRS is all or nothing. Yeah. All right. Any other observations? Otherwise, I assume we'll be hearing from you in due course, Paul, and the remaining, however numbered, will probably increase rather than decrease as you explore the world. But thank you very much for that. And I think we're ready now to, we wanted to make sure everyone stayed to the end, so we picked a particularly interesting topic.